Greetings, friends. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the last program, I revealed that God gave one covenant to Abraham, then repeated it to Isaac, then repeated it to Jacob, then split the one covenant into two covenants, one of which later became known as the Old Covenant, and the other one became known as the New Covenant. The Old Covenant, of course, was made with the nation of Israel on Mount Sinai, and the New Covenant was made with the church on the day of Pentecost. But let me ask you a question. Why did God make two covenants? Well, the answer is God made two covenants because He wants to teach us two very different lessons. And what are those lessons, you ask? The lesson of the Old Covenant is that we can have every physical blessing imaginable. And we can even have God with us. But we will still fail at what God wants us to do. The lesson of the New Covenant is that we might not have any physical blessings. But as long as we have the spiritual blessing of God in us, we will succeed in everything God has for us to do. Now, for proof that God gave one covenant to Abraham that has two parts, the physical blessings and the spiritual blessings, let's turn to Genesis 12, verses 1 through 7. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Here it's recorded that the Lord said to Abram, "Get out of your country, away from your family, into a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. To your seed will I give this land of Canaan, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed." So here we have it, physical promises and blessings and spiritual promises and blessings. The physical promises had to do with the nation of Israel becoming a great nation, that any nation that blessed them would be blessed, and any nation that cursed them would be cursed, and that nation of Israel would be given a land of promise, the promised land, which is Canaan, it's now called Israel. Those are the physical blessings. But the spiritual blessings are wrapped up in this phrase, "And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed." But you might be saying, well, how do you know that the phrase "in you all families of the earth will be blessed" refers to spiritual blessings? Well, you don't have to believe me. Believe your Bible. Let's turn over to the book of Galatians. This is the book of Galatians, chapter 3, and we'll read verses 6 through 8. This is Galatians, the third chapter. We're going to read verses 6 through 8. Here it says that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed God that he would fulfill his promises that we just got finished reading about, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? So just like Abraham had faith, if we have faith in these promises, we are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would do what? Justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, "In your seed shall all nations be blessed." So what are we saying here? We're saying that justifying the heathen through faith is a blessing. And it's a spiritual blessing because justification is forgiveness of sins. And what else are we saying in this scripture here? It says that the gospel was preached before to Abraham, saying, "In your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed." So the gospel is, "In your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed." That's the good news of what God has done, is doing, and will do through Jesus Christ. And how do we know that this seed refers to Jesus Christ? Well, let's continue reading in Galatians, the third chapter, verses 9 through 16. So we're still in the book of Galatians, third chapter, but now verses 9 through 16. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. It is evident that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, because the just shall live by faith. And what is this faith they have to have? That Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And how is he a curse? For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So when he died on the cross, he took our curse upon him and became a curse, because he took upon himself our sins, and sins cause death. Therefore Christ died on the tree to forgive us of our sins. Why did he do that? Let's go on to finish reading it. He did that so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of what? The promise of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, through faith. Now to Abraham and his seed, who is the seed? We're about to find out. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. But he doesn't say seeds as in plural. It's singular. And to your seed, which is Christ. Your seed, Christ. In your seed, Christ, shall all nations be blessed. Now, when comparing the Old and New Covenants, especially when you were going to compare it with an emphasis on the promises in the covenants, perhaps the best place to start is in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 6 through 8. That's Hebrews chapter 8, verses 6 through 8. Here it says, but now has Jesus obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. Why is it a better covenant? Because it's established upon better promises. What are those promises? That we would receive, the Holy Spirit through faith, that we would receive justification through faith, that we would receive Christ through faith. These are the better promises. That's why it's a better covenant. Now let's continue in Hebrews chapter 8. It says, for if that first covenant, which is the old covenant, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then there should be no place for a second covenant. But that first covenant was faultless. It says, because God did find fault with them. Not that the covenant itself had problems, but the people had problems trying to keep the covenant. Why did they have a problem trying to keep that first covenant, which was the old covenant? Again, let's continue in Hebrews chapter 8. It says, because, he says, the day is coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. In that, he says, a new covenant, he has made the first old. The problem with the first covenant is that they did not have God in them. They had God with them, but that is not enough. We all need to have God in us, and that is what the new covenant is about. That's why God says he's going to establish a new covenant by giving us a new heart and writing his spiritual laws upon our heart. So let's read that just one more time very quickly. This is in Hebrews 8, verses 6 through 8. But now has Jesus obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. But God did find fault with them, and he says, therefore, that the day is coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. In that, he says, a new covenant, he has made the first old. And that's where you get the term a new covenant and old covenant. And again, the old covenant, there was a fault with it. It was established upon lesser promises, and those promises only included land, plenty of children. The nation of Israel grew to be a large nation and a very prosperous nation in the land of Israel. They even had God with them. God dwelt with them in the tabernacle. He later dwelt with them in the temple. But they still failed at what God had as an ultimate plan for them. Why? Because they did not have God in them. And again, that's why the new covenant had to be made. Because the new covenant is wrapped up in the phrase, "In your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed." And your seed is Christ. So it is Christ in us, God in us, that will enable us to be successful in all that God has for us. Now, let's take a closer look at what are some of the promises. Okay, for our first promise, which is a better promise, it is God is in the church through the Holy Spirit. What's the lesser promise? The lesser promise is that God was with Israel, not in Israel, but with Israel. A better promise? The law is written on our minds and hearts. That's what godliness and holiness is all about. A lesser promise was the law written on two tables of stone, which was symbolic of its external nature. Also, the tables of stone being hard was representative of the hardened hearts. A better promise, multitude of sins forgiven. That's what justification is. The nation of Israel had a multitude of descendants. That's good, but it's not as good as having a multitude of sins forgiven. A better promise, righteousness imputed. It's undeserved, unmerited, but through grace, God accounts us as righteous. This is what sanctification is all about. Well, Israel had royal lineage. Israel was the lead nation in the world. But that's a lesser promise than having righteousness imputed and being considered a royal spiritual nation. A better promise, the church is the first to be resurrected to eternal life. That's what glorification is all about. Israel had physical prosperity and good health, but that doesn't compare to eternal life. A better promise, God gives us victory over Satan, society, and ourselves. A lesser promise, God gave Israel victory over its enemies, but that was only temporary. With us, the better promise is complete and everlasting victory over Satan, society, and ourselves. A better promise, we are promised to inherit the world. Israel inherited the promised land. Which would you rather have, the promised land or the world? So there you have it. Better promises and lesser promises. And we'll go into this more in depth in the next program. I thank you for joining me on this program. Grace be to you through God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.